It's time to talk to Brad Graber.
That is correct. Stewardship, not just financial stewardship. The word stewardship means so much more.
Mm-hmm. It does. And I love that we're getting to talk about this. I'm in Christian circles. We've heard stewardship and money being tied together in a lot of different contexts. And typically, it is used in association with capital campaigns or budget conversations and fundraisers. But God's word paints a much broader picture of stewardship. This is what we were talking about earlier. The biblical view of stewardship applies to every Christian and every area of life. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. Brad brought this up. Instead of showing how scripture applies specifically to our financial lives, we're going to turn the focus away from money and learn how it's about so much more than just our finances. Brad, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Well, let's jump in, man. How can we broaden our understanding of stewardship and what it means?
Well, you know how I like to approach things. I always like to go to the beginning and build it up from there so we can go all the way back to Genesis and see some fundamental aspects of stewardship taught right there. So in Genesis 1, we see, obviously, God was the creator of everything. He spoke it all into being, and so he was the creator and the owner of it all. And then you go forward and you get to where he created Adam and Eve, and he put them in charge of his creation. And he told them to manage it, or subdue is the word that we read, all of creation for his glory. So there's the first big principle we see, is that God is the owner of everything, and he simply put Adam and Eve and the rest of us in charge as simply managers of his things according to his will. And then we move forward just a little bit in Genesis. We get to Genesis 39, and we read about Joseph and his role as a steward. And it talks about how Potiphar left him in charge of everything that he had, and because of Joseph, Potiphar had no concern over anything except the food that he ate. So what we see there is the use of the word stewardship, which literally meant in the Greek, ruler of the house. And Joseph, again, didn't own anything, but was simply placed in charge of the things that Potiphar owned. So just as Adam and Eve were in charge of what God owned, Joseph was in charge of what Potiphar owned, and he was to manage it according to Potiphar's wishes. So the second principle that we see about stewardship there is that the primary role of a steward is to be faithful to the desires of the master. And doing a good job will obviously require an intimate knowledge of the master and what the master wants us to do.
Well, if we know that God is the one that we're serving and we need to be faithful, Brad, to his wishes, then what direction does that scripture give us in relation to being faithful to his plans, not ours, but his?
Yes, we can roll forward now and go into the book of Matthew and see some of the last words that Jesus spoke, specifically the last ones he spoke in the book of Matthew, was that he gave a high priority to what was important to him. And the last things that he was saying was the Great Commission, where he told his disciples to go and to preach the gospel to the nations. And this perfectly coincides with the parable of the talents that he gave just three chapters before that. So if you go back to Matthew 25, he gives the end of three parables that he told in a row that all had the exact same lesson. He was teaching about his eventual return. And in the parable of the talents, we see Jesus as the master. He goes away, and he left servants in charge of something incredibly valuable. And it's not a financial lesson. This is actually what we can learn is that the thing of great value that we've been left with is actually the gospel message. And as the servants, our primary job is as stewards of the gospel message. And in Jesus' absence, our job is to manage that well and to manage that faithfully. And one day he's going to return. And when he does, we want to be, just as Joseph as a steward or Adam and Eve as a steward, we want to be found faithful when he returns.
Well, Brad, and I know, you know, we do this here at Moody Radio and a lot of other companies do this. There are always job reviews, how you're doing your job. We check in once a year and go over things. We're held accountable for how we've done the jobs we've been given. So when it comes to stewarding God's resources, what does Scripture say about how our service is going to be evaluated, because it is going to be evaluated?
Yeah, and the parable of the talents, if we stay there, answers this really, really well. Because what we see at the end, when the master returns, which as we know was Jesus, he doesn't commend the servants for their results, but he actually commends them for their faithfulness. So he's not praising them for how much they made. Instead, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He praises them for their effort, not for the result. So for that faithfulness. And this is perfectly in line with what we see in 1 Corinthians 3 when it comes to the gospel message. In verses 7 and 8 of 1 Corinthians 3, that's where we read about there's one who plants and one who waters. But God ultimately gives the growth. And he who plants or waters will ultimately receive their wages according to their labor, not according to the results, because we know that our primary job is to be faithful and to steward the gospel well. And we do that by faithfully sharing it. And then we recognize God's sovereignty and know that he will take care of the results in it. So ultimately, it goes back to that idea of it's our effort, it's our faithfulness according to his plans, and God will take care of the results of it.
Well, once we recognize that stewardship of the gospel is the most important responsibility that we have, how does that change the way maybe that we approach our other resources, Brad, such as, you know, time and money?
Yeah, so we get that priority right, and that the gospel is the key. And we see, and a great example of this is Paul in Colossians 1, where he talks about completely pouring himself out to make the word of God fully known. So what's he doing? He's using every ounce of energy that he has to communicate the gospel message to people who haven't heard it. And that should be our priority as well. And here's the stewardship lesson for all of us, and why I like to talk about this in context with money, because sometimes we think about stewarding money as doing it for money's sake, but it's really not. Whatever else we're stewarding, if we have our priorities right, and if we're faithfully stewarding everything that God's entrusted to us according to his priorities, then the gospel message takes the front row. And everything else, is we can start to view it just as a tool to serve that stewardship of the gospel. And so why do we steward money? We steward it not for money, but for how it can serve the stewardship of the gospel and the communication of the gospel. So when it comes to our children, our time, everything else that we're stewarding that God has left us entrusted with, everything is in relation to how well can it serve stewarding the gospel message. And we get that right, then we start to see everything the way God wants us to see it, and we're faithfully using it in the way he wants us to use it.
Now, if we've been given any kind of resources, any kind of authority over any staff, situation, whatever, we are stewards. I mean, that is who we are. And I remember the first time that finally hit me, Brad, that I saw the truth of it, I thought, wow, I cannot keep compartmentalizing the areas of my life. This stewardship thing, God takes seriously, and it affects everything that he has given me.
And I certainly take comfort in knowing that it's not the results, but our faithfulness that
evaluated on. Yeah, that was a huge encouragement. So I appreciate you sharing that, too, because my results are not always the best.